Sweet Tea, Teddy P, is riding the S&P, followed close behind by Dollar Bill Lako on the Dow, jockeying for second. The third quarter is tough as indices lag behind. We're coming into the fourth quarter, each rallying for a stellar finish. It's investors winning by a nose.
This is Money Talks.
Okay. We've got a financial planning question coming in. This is Martin from Atlanta. Can I avoid the 10% tax penalty for early withdrawals from a traditional IRA? The answer is like most things in finance, possibly. Depends on the circumstances.
Maybe. Could be.
But yes, you can. There are circumstances where you would avoid that penalty. They are, namely going to deal with, some qualifying expenses like medical expenses, health insurance premiums, higher education, first-time home buyer. Now, this is maybe going to waive the penalty, but not the tax. You're always going to have to pay the tax. There's really no way to access the IRA tax-free. But the point here is to avoid that extra 10% penalty that is that you get hit with if you're less than 59 and a half years old. Another scenario would be, we don't know how old Martin is, but if Martin has recently retired and let's say he's 55, there are options you have to tap into your IRA bucket with that and avoid that 10% penalty. It can be some complicated rules. Mm-hmm. If you want to research it some on your own, it's Rule 72T. There's some different calculations you can follow where you pretty much commit to taking periodic payments over a period of time, so you can't just go, tap into it 1 year, to cover some liquidity needs. But it can get complicated, so definitely ask a CPA, anyone before you actually pull the trigger at the custodian and move the money out.
Yeah, because it could be pretty hazardous. A 10% penalty plus
it adds up.
Taxes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you're talking about Fed, state, 10% penalty. Mm-hmm. If you're in a
high tax bracket,
25-28% tax bracket, it can add up.
Top in half.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Cool.
Sounds
good stuff, Charlie. Good stuff. Well, we got a question of the week here, Charlie, and we're going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, this
yeah we're
question
put
of the,
you
of,
on the spot.
Of the whole show week.
Right.
Everything.
Oh, yeah.
The
it's
week.
A crown
this
jewel
is
of the
and
show.
The rule is, and this rule has never been stated on the air, but I'm going to state it. You got to keep this to a succinct and not necessarily short, but really clear answer. Right, Kelly Lynn? Yeah.
Okay. Well, good thing is this question is very simple.
Is it?
Well, not really. We'll give it a shot.
The question's for,
question was from Robert from Kennesaw. Now that my child is in college, am I entitled to any education tax credits?
So what's the answer, Charlie?
Well,
two words, right?
A couple segments ago, we mentioned a theory within finance, and I'll answer it. It depends.
Oh, of course. Wow. That's great.
Glad to hear that. I'll preface this by I'm not a CPA, nor are these two individuals next to me. But yes, there are two education tax credits out there. There's an American Opportunity Credit, formerly known as the HOPE Credit, and there's a Lifetime Learning Credit. So the two different credits have some different amounts that you can get back from your taxes, as well as different phase out. So that's the main difference between the two. Let's start with the American Opportunity Credit. The phase outs are for joint filers with modified adjusted gross income below 160. You're eligible for the credit. Once you get from over 160, it phases out up to 180. Then you can't get it. For single filers, you can basically just cut those numbers in half.
Right.
For 2014, the maximum credit that you would be available would be up to $2,500 total. The way it's calculated is it's 100% of the first $2,000 of your child's annual tuition and related expenses, and then 25% of the next $2,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's jump to the other one, the Lifetime Learning Credit. That has slightly different phase-out periods. You're looking at, for a joint filers, it's modified adjusted gross income below $108,000. starts to phase out above 108 up to 128 for single. Just like the other one, you can pretty much cut those numbers in half.
Much lower. Yeah.
Right. But the specifics on that one, it's a maximum of $2,000 per year of a credit, and it's calculated as 20% on the first $10,000 of your child's annual tuition and related expenses. Now, the main difference between the two credits is the American Opportunity. You can apply that to each child. The other one is a household or a taxpayer credit. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you know, if you were to have two or three different children in college at once, you're likely going to be able to get a larger credit with the American Opportunity than the Lifetime Learning. And the way those are calculated, depending on how much your costs are, one can possibly benefit you versus the other.
Yeah. One other thing you have to make sure of is that you list your child as a dependent on your tax return to be eligible for either one of those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I think you covered.
How was that? How was
that?
That,
that was good stuff. That was awesome.
Wonderful.
You know, that was brilliant.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, I mean, if you want more on this, you can go to our website at hensler.com or call us at 770-429-9166.
We had a question about early retirement that came in. This is Wallace Nye from Loganville writes, I have the means, but I don't know if I want to retire early, and I mean early as I'm a spry 57 years young.
Wow.
From your perspective, do you talk about the pros and cons of an early retirement? There's a couple of interesting studies, Wallace, that have been done recently. TIA Kreft did one here in 2014 that found that nearly 4 out of 10 Americans plan to retire before age 65. Then in a Gallup survey also done this year said the average age at which today's retirees report they retired is relatively early at 62.
Yeah.
So a little bit of difference there in those numbers.
Right when the Social Security kicks in.
That's right. That's right. So you're going to beat both of those averages. Now let's look at the pros first. So one thing that workers, depending on your job, you may be thinking is it could be good for your health. If you've got a high-stress job or miserable at work, that there could be positive health consequences to stepping away from work when you can. You'd have more time to travel, assuming you had the means financially to do so.
Yeah. And your health wasn't so worn down.
And your health wasn't so worn down. It's also an opportunity to start a new career or even a new hobby, you know, something that just maybe would require a lot of your time, whether that be income producing or just volunteering some of your time. Now, some of the cons, it also could be bad for your health. That's the flip side of the – if you're someone who, you know, wouldn't – you know, isn't in a stressful job, you also could get into retirement, develop some lazy habits. You know, we see that there are some studies that show that early retirement can lead to declines in mental health and mobility.
Yeah, it can be just
it
lonely.
It makes sense. You're just not as stimulated. You don't stay as sharp. A lot of that depends on kind of how you're going to fill your days in retirement.
Yeah.
Your Social Security benefits would be smaller just based on the calculation, how they look at historical earnings. You wouldn't have as many higher earning years at the tail end. You're going to have a longer retirement if you live to, say, 90.
Yeah.
You know,
you're
looking at almost 30 years that your money needs to cover
so you
versus
spend, right.
You
can
use your assets.
You know, which is you start drawing those down, math can definitely start working against you.
So basically it boils down to you just need to think about it before you go.
Yes, and definitely have a plan in place and know what you want to get out of retirement.
Yeah, right.
All right, guys, we're on a hard break right now, so don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. This is Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.